This morning, each one of us made a decision to come to church. Now, there had to be a reason for us to do so. You see, there are many things that get our attention. There are places to go and things to do on a Sunday morning. But here we are at church. Now, all over the city, in fact, all over the country, others are making the same determination to go to church or not. How do we decide? Is a place we go to learn about God. It is a place of religious orientation, a place to consider and contemplate a particular idea about life, one that goes beyond what is experienced in the material world of existence. Now, there are many churches, there are many denominations, and each presents its message according to their established religious beliefs. And that is part of the decision. You see, those who are interested in pursuing religion seek a teaching that is compatible with the ideas that they have concerning God. The desire is to be among others of like mind, to share and to explore. Now, some individuals are perfectly satisfied to leave God out there, just beyond their reach, willing to greet Him when they get to heaven. Their goal is to work at being good, to be a good human being, so that they will indeed get to heaven. And so they attend church, letting God know that they are trying. They are really doing the best that they can do. But you know, there is no real relationship with a God who is sitting in heaven, waiting for us to arrive at some unspecified future date. Others are not satisfied to wait until they leave this world to become acquainted with God. They want to go know God now. We have read that Jesus had a personal relationship with His Father, which art in heaven. And we wonder, can we too have this relationship? Actually, I believe that the sincere seeker intuitively knows that this too can be their experience. The desire to know God in a personal way is what allows us to see a teaching that speaks of spiritual reality. You see, the sincere seeker, he does not want to be deceived. What is the truth of being? Now, Jesus told us that God is spirit and that He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. We look for a church with the teaching that allows us to do so. We seek the lessons that encourage, inspire, and uplift so that we too may enjoy the personal relationship with our Father, which art in heaven. The place that we come to on a Sunday morning, it should be our oasis, our sanctuary, not touched or distracted by the mental thought or by the human emotion. Our church of choice, it should be our refuge, a place where we may withdraw from the world and be alone with God in our own soul's awareness. And so we find us sitting in a pew in this particular church, open and receptive to that voice that speaks in the center of our being. Now, the words that we hear, they are personal. They are meant just for us. And yes, we are stirred and we are inspired because we have found our spiritual center and we will not be moved. We find us here this morning among others who share our desire to know in this way. God is in this place right now, right where we are, and we know that this is so. But what happens when we leave this church building on a Sunday morning? What happens when we once again walk in the world of temptation and appearance? When faced with life's challenges, are we able to maintain the assurance that God is in this place? Now, when we say that God is in this place, we do not mean in this church building only. We mean that God is in this place wherever we happen to find us at the moment. Now, we can talk this way. We can say this because the place where God is in our consciousness. We do not leave God in the church building when we leave on a Sunday morning. We carry Him with us in consciousness, which means that at any time and in any place, we will find Him there. But the challenge for us is to maintain our consciousness in a way that bears witness to this presence. Because you see, I mentioned earlier that many things get our attention. There are many things to do and many places to go. And in that busy time of our daily living, we have become distracted, finding us traveling in and out of many states and stages of awareness, divided in our attention and in our focus. This activity disturbs the sincere seeker. The ability to vacillate in our thinking is an attribute that belongs to the human aspect of being. It is what it does. So we ask, how do we maintain a conscious relationship with our Father, which art in heaven, when tempted by the human experience of the outside world? How does one maintain his spiritual integrity in the face of appearance? Mankind has pondered these questions since the beginning of time. Mystics and holy men speak of prayer. Now, true prayer is communing with God, or if you prefer, talking with God. Yes, we talk with God, our Father, which art in heaven. If we wish to maintain a relationship with a friend or a relative, we find ways to keep in touch. And according to the degree that we stay in touch, to that degree will the relationship be successful. And so it is with our spiritual life. Remember, we do not leave God on the doorstep when we leave the church building, expecting to pick Him up from the doorstep the next time we enter the church. If there has been no communication throughout the week, it means that we have not taken the time to talk with God. The relationship developed through prayer has not been maintained because we have not stayed in touch. Now, actually, this desire to pray is natural response of a soul that remembers from whence it came. Yes, the soul of man stirs in recognition, and it will not be denied. When moved from within, the awakened individual longs to know God. As so again we speak of prayer. Much attention is given to the subject of prayer. Nona Brooks tells us that man is a praying creature, and that we pray a great deal more than we think we do. She tells us that every aspiration, actually all worthwhile desire and all true attitudes, are prayers. Now she uses that word true, because you see, as human beings, we also aspire and desire in an individual way, seeking recognition and credit. But these are of the personal self, the ego, and they do not belong to our spiritual reality. The true desire and attitude is the one lifted to our Father which art in heaven. The true desire is to know God and to seek that kingdom above all else. Lifting awareness on high aligns itself with truth. Knowing and living the truth of the infinite is the highest prayer. We believe that this is so, and now the goal is to prove it. We begin, we set aside certain times of the day for prayer, for the true prayer lifted to our Father which art in heaven. And then we take classes and join discussion groups that speak to us about prayer. And in all our learning, we discover that prayer is not just a now and then activity. Talking with God is not just reserved for special times, for structured classes and discussions. Talking with God is not something we do just when a need arises. If we are to have a personal relationship with our Father which art in heaven, like Jesus did, then it is helpful to notice what it is that Jesus did. We are told that he went often to the mountaintop to commune with God. Now we understand that the mountaintop is a high place of consciousness. One sees only God. And then we are told he walked among the people, the fruit of his conviction, going before him, making every crooked place straight. He was never far away from his Father's presence. Now, Dr. Salazar used to talk to us about staying prayed up, the need to stay prayed up. He went on to explain that God should never be far from our conscious awareness. When we awaken to a new day, we establish a time for prayer and meditation. In this time of communion, our consciousness is filled with the presence of God. This presence is always there, right there at the surface, ready to express. Now, I think that Dr. Salazar's advice to stay prayed up is similar to what is referred to as to pray without ceasing. Now, I have to tell you, as a child, I did not understand what this meant at all. I knew about prayer, the one at mealtime, and the one at bedtime. I knew that people prayed when they went to church. I also knew that people prayed when they wanted something or when they were in need. And I also knew that to do something without ceasing meant that you continued to do it forever, the time. Without ceasing, there is no end to it. Now, at that time, part of my idea about prayer was to bow my head and to fold my hands at the appointed time. Now, just how do we bow our heads and fold our hands all the time without ceasing? How do we do this while going to work, shopping, and we are at the movies? During my study of prayer, I discovered that the prayer without ceasing is an established attitude. It is not accomplished by bowing our heads and folding our hands. It is an attitude of consciousness, one that is never far from our Father, which art in heaven. It belongs to the one whose eyes are stayed on thee. Now, I think that those of us who have studied prayer, taken the lessons, and read the books can agree that this is what is required. But still, we want to somehow translate it into our daily experience. How do we accomplish this on a daily basis? What exactly does it mean to live the spiritual way of life while yet in the flesh? Well, since God is not far away, we can talk to Him at any time, and that is what we do. We practice what we know and we live it in this way. If our activity is cooking dinner, we do not leave the kitchen to find the spot to talk with God. No, right where we are is the time of communion. And so we say, Father, you are the source of every good thing. It is you who feeds your people. You are in this place, right where I am. I am about your business, and I serve you in this way. You give me ideas, and you guide my hands. You show me what to do. The work is considered neither high nor low, but rather it is exalted according to the attitude that allows it to be. And what exactly do we do when we find us facing something that is not compatible with our spiritual integrity? Joel Goldsmith says it in this way. If what you are looking at is not what you wish to claim, you may say, God's kingdom is not of this world, and I am not taking this world into God's kingdom. Now, I do like that. Remember, we are the one doing the claiming. It is us who establishes the attitude in which the work gets done. So when we pray without ceasing, we may claim God's supply right there in the face of lack. We may claim wholeness when illness appears to be. Staying prayed up, we may say, not my will but thine be done, when we find us in a place of uncertainty. Now, this activity of talking with God, it is not us trying to tell God something. It is not us trying to bring something to God's attention that we think He needs to fix. Talking with God is a form of recognition. It is saying, Father, we are in this together. I am not alone. I rest. And I listen. It is you who directs my thoughts, my deeds, and my actions. My mission is to glorify Him who has sent me. And so I talk, and I listen. And let us not forget about giving thanks. When our prayer is uttered, gratitude is given at that time. Father, I know not what to do, but I know that you do, and for this I give thanks. Do you see that this is how the established attitude or prayer begins, the one without ceasing? When we enter the theater or the restaurant, we should claim that God is in this place, and then rest and enjoy the activity, knowing that God is not far away. And then we realize that relationship that Jesus had with his Father, which art in heaven, the one that we wanted to have, it is now ours. It is ours in consciousness, and no one can take it from us. In her writings, Nona Brooks talked about her time of prayer and meditation. In her time of communion, she was building her established attitude of prayer without ceasing. Now, the more she did this, in time, the activity itself became less and less because, you see, now she was living from her established attitude of communion with God. And when she was faced with something, she could say, Father, you will have to handle this. And then she rested, giving no thought about what should occur or how it would all come about. She had learned to trust what was given her in her time of listening. In today's lesson concerning prayer, it is appropriate that we consider where we are in understanding. There are those who will say that nothing works out for them, that none of their prayers are ever answered. There is disappointment and despair. Nona Brooks touches on this in her book, The Prayer That Never Fails. She points out that our human lives were meant to be rich and beautiful, free and joyous. It is our wrong thinking that interferes with the natural course of life's overflowing stream. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with law, which is God in action. So her question was always, how are we approaching God? I agree, and I would ask, have we found our Father, which art in heaven? She used herself as an example. For many years she had been in need, both financially and physically. But it was her change of thought, her understanding that as one thinks with deep conviction, so does he experience. Our lives are a constant demonstration of what we think with deep conviction. It is our established attitude. I agree with Nona Brooks. We can only demonstrate what it is we accept in consciousness. So you see, always our work is done with self, the little self, and the big self. Have we allowed our thoughts to be negative or self-controlled? The place of dark conviction blots out the sun in our lives. So let us lift our eyes on high. God is in this place is the prayer of recognition, the one that never ceases. This morning we have the opportunity to be still and know that this is so. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In our time of stillness, we prepare ourselves to be in his presence. Turn to me and I will turn to you is the way of communion. The soul reveals that God is in this place. I remember from whence I came. We are consciously stirred in recognition that this is my Father, which art in heaven. And then we rest, we listen, and we know. The one of lift consciousness is not disturbed or distracted by outer things. Eternal life is the life of the inner being, Christ, the only begotten child of God. Appearances come, appearances go, but God alone is absolute, sure, and certain. As we begin the new week, we are reminded that we are not alone. Let us walk in the assurance that in this place, at any time, we may turn within and ask for wisdom, for knowledge, and understanding. To be led by Spirit is to be open and receptive to the indwelling presence that knows what to do. Let us be the one who listens. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge Him so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.